I was thinking about Peter this week, the Apostle Peter, Simon Peter. Mentioned him a little bit this morning, and as I've studied his life, I've come to the conclusion that he was quite a character. In fact, if he were here tonight, he'd probably be sitting right back there between Brother Dave and Brother Larry. So, but he heard Jesus say, as he was cleaning his nets one day, "Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men." And Peter responded to that call and he left home, left his dad, left his profession, followed Jesus, became a fisher of men. He witnessed all the miracles that Jesus performed. He heard Jesus teach. He heard Jesus preach. And most important, he saw how Jesus lived day after day when Jesus was away from the crowd. You know, it's one thing to live a certain way in front of the crowd. It's another thing to live that way when there's not many people looking, if anybody looking. And Peter was there in the quiet moments when it was just Jesus and his disciples. And he saw him as Jesus lived. He saw him as he went, got up early, went to the mountain to pray, and as he stayed up late and went to a desert place and prayed. One day Jesus was with his disciples and he asked them this question, "Who do men say that I am?" And they answered, "Well, some say you're Elijah and some say you're John the Baptist." And Jesus said, "Well, who do you think I am?" And Peter stood for the group of disciples and he says, "Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God." Jesus looked at him and said, "Peter, blessed art thou, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And he said, "Upon this rock." A lot of people are mistaken. They said, "Oh, that was Jesus. He was building the church on Peter." Because I have a Catholic friend that I talk to a lot at work. And he keeps telling me Peter was the first pope. I said, "No, Peter wasn't the first pope. He was married." He said, "No, he was the first pope." I said, "No, he was married. Nobody would have a mother-in-law unless they were married." And think about that for a little bit. "Upon this kind of faith," Jesus said, "upon this kind of faith that you've expressed in me, Peter, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Peter had faith, as we talked about this morning, to walk on water. We criticize him a little bit because he lost that faith and doubted. But you got to remember, the rest of those birds didn't even get out of the boat. They were still in it. And Peter had enough faith to get out and walk on the water. It was at the Last Supper that Peter said to Jesus, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." He said, "I will lay down my life for thy sake." He said, "If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise." And yet a few hours later, this same man was cursing and swearing and denying that he ever knew Christ. I think that's sad. I mean, here he was, 3 years that he lived and walked and heard Jesus teach and preach. He was the leader of the disciples. And now here he was, at the time when Jesus needed him most, he was denying that he ever knew Jesus. What a sad thing. But I think it's much sadder for us today who have the complete revelation of God, who have the story of Peter and how he denied Christ, that we, as the children of God, also deny that we know Jesus. Tonight I want to preach on the subject, how we deny Jesus. Now I understand two things. I understand, number one, that this is that the people that are here tonight are the folks that need it the less. I understand that. I mean, you wouldn't be here tonight unless you were striving to serve God and live for Him. But I also understand that this kind of message most people couldn't take. That's not a message I could preach on Sunday morning. I mean, if I preach this message, for example, this morning, half the people would get so mad they probably wouldn't even let me finish. They'd get up and leave. And so I understand that you need it the less. But I also understand that you can take it. And it's these kind of and you're saying, "Oh, I wish I hadn't come tonight. I wish I hadn't come tonight." But these are the kind of messages we need every once in a while as Christians that have dedicated our lives to live for Christ. These are the kind of messages that we need to keep us on track, to keep us to keep us going for God. So I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, how we deny Jesus. And I want to mention three things tonight about Peter and the events that we read about a moment ago that caused him, I think, to deny Jesus. And point out to you that if we're not careful, the same things in our life cause us to deny him. First of all, I want to point out to you a thing that I think helped him deny or caused him to deny Christ was his stand, where he was standing. And I want to point out to you tonight that he was standing in the wrong place with the wrong crowd for the wrong reason. All right, listen to, and I went to all four Gospels. I want you to notice where he was standing. First of all, he was standing in the wrong place. Matthew chapter 26 says, "But Peter followed him afar off." Mark says the same thing. "But Peter followed him afar off." Luke says the same thing. "And Peter followed afar off." And then John chapter 18, a verse we read a moment ago, "But Peter stood at the door without." He was standing in the wrong place. He was standing without. He was standing afar off. He wasn't seeing how close he could get to Jesus. He was keeping his distance. He didn't want to be identified with him. He didn't want the folks that were there that were getting ready to crucify Christ to know that he was with him. Now, he wanted to know what was going on. I mean, he didn't want to miss anything. But he didn't want to... Look, he wanted to be a spectator. He didn't want to be a participant. He wanted to witness what was going on, but he didn't want to take part in it. Now, a lot of people that come to church on Sunday morning, they're what you might call morning glories. Anybody know what a morning glory is? Kathy, what is it? That's a flower that opens in the morning. And we have a lot of morning glories in Baptist churches. They come in the morning, and they warm up their little section of pew, and when nighttime comes, you cannot find them. They're not anywhere to be found. And they come on Sunday morning, and they want to know what's going on. They'll sit in the services, and they'll observe, and they'll watch, and they'll wonder. I wonder if they'll make their goals. I wonder if they'll accomplish anything for God. I wonder if they'll see anybody saved. They're interested enough to come and watch, but they never want to get involved. It's always from a distance. They don't want to see how close they can get to Jesus. They just want to be a spectator and not a participant. They want to follow afar off. And because they stand in the wrong place, when just like Peter, when trouble comes, when reproach comes, when persecution comes, they deny Christ. They say like Peter, "I don't know him. I never knew him. I wasn't with him." Look, our goal ought to be to get just as close to Jesus as we can and stay right there. I wouldn't want to be described as a far off Christian or a without Christian. I want to get right up next to him, and I want to stay close to him. And if you're not trying to stay just as close as you can to Christ, you're standing in the wrong place. So he was standing in the wrong place. Notice also that he was standing with the wrong people. Listen to the Gospels. John chapter 18. We read it a moment ago. "And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, and Peter stood with them." Listen to Matthew. "But Peter went in and sat with the servants." Notice, Matthew says, not only did he stand with them, he sat with them. Mark, "And Peter sat with the servants." Luke, "Peter sat down among them." Look, these were the folks that had just arrested Christ. These were the ones that had just come and taken him from the garden by physical force. They brought him to the high priest's house. They had already spent some time beating up on him and slapping him and plucking his beard from his face. In a few moments, they would take rods and they would beat him. They would form a crown of thorns and put it down on his brow. And the one that said, "I will never be offended because of you," was now sitting and standing with the enemy. The one that said, "I'll lay down my life for you, Jesus," was now sitting with the ones that in a few hours would take his life from him. There was Simon Peter in the wrong place with the wrong people. And you've heard me say this before, and if you keep me around, you'll hear me say this time after time again. One of the greatest downfalls of Christian people is when they start running with the wrong crowd. Look, if you're in the right place with the right people doing the right things, it'll be awful hard for you to deny Christ. But if you get in the wrong place and start running with the wrong crowd, back to the old places, the places that you went before you got saved, with the people you went with before you got saved, it won't be long, mark my words, it won't be long till you start denying Christ. You say, oh, Brother Darrell, not me. I'm a strong Christian. My testimony will shine wherever I go. I say amen to that. Wonderful. That means you're a stronger Christian than Peter. Wonderful. I can't wait till you preach and see 3,000 people saved. I just can't wait. I can't wait to see, like Peter did, after he got straightened out, for you to make somebody that's blind see or somebody that's lame walk. Look, you may say, and maybe you won't deny him with your lips. Maybe you won't say, oh, I never knew him. Maybe you won't say, oh, I'm not a Christian. Oh, no, I don't go to church. But think about what you're doing with your life. Think about the actions that, look, people watch what you do. I know this is going to surprise some of you, but there's some people that have got their eye on you. And they're watching what you do. And your life speaks a much louder message than your tongue does. Do you ever stop and think about this? There's somebody that's unsaved that's watching you, that you're the best Christian they know. I'll go further than that. There's people that are watching you. You're the only Christian they know. And you may not come out and say, I don't know Jesus. I'm not a Christian. I don't go to church. But what are you saying by your life when you go to the wrong place and hang around with the wrong people? You may be sending somebody to hell because you're not living the way you know you ought to live. Peter was in the wrong place. He was with the wrong people. And he was there for the wrong reason. Listen to John chapter 18. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves. And Peter stood there with them and warmed himself. Oh, poor old Peter. He was cold. I mean, it's the middle of the night. He was freezing. He should have been home in his warm bed. I mean, there's a fire. I mean, here it is, warm. I want to get comfortable, Peter says. I want to get to where I can warm myself up. Some people serve God as long as it's easy. Some people serve God as long as it doesn't get tough. Some people serve God because it's comfortable and it doesn't interfere with their lifestyle and their schedule. But I want to tell you something tonight. I don't find any place in this book where being comfortable is a criteria for serving God. In fact, I don't find anywhere in this book that God ever says that we're supposed to be comfortable serving Him. Now, I think we can have great peace, and I think we can have great joy, but God never promised Christians that it was going to be easy. He never promised Christians that it was going to be comfortable. He never promised Christians that it was going to be all downhill sledding. No, 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 no. He said just the opposite. He said, they're going to hate you. They hated me, they'll hate you. They're going to persecute you. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. They're going to say all manner of evil against you falsely. They're going to lie about you. And they're going to say false things about you. Look, if you're serving God just because it's convenient, might as well go ahead and quit now. Because sooner or later, trouble's going to come, and you'll do more harm to the cause of God if you quit when trouble comes as if you go ahead and quit now when it's easy. Just go ahead and quit. But the message is tonight, don't quit. Don't quit. You decide you're going to serve God regardless of how much trouble comes, regardless of how uncomfortable it is, regardless of how much persecution comes. You decide, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve Him. Look, God didn't call us to be comfortable. We're in a war. We're fighting Satan. We're fighting the world. People don't go to war to get comfortable. I mean, stop and think about it. You don't go to war because it feels good. You don't go to war because, you know, there's where you can be warm and safe and nice. No, you go to war because there's a cause. And we got a cause tonight. We got a cause. Our cause is that for the wages of sin is death. And everybody that doesn't know Christ as their Savior is going to die and go to hell forever and ever and ever. That's our cause. Who cares if it gets uncomfortable? Who cares if persecution comes? Let's decide we're going to serve God. Let me ask you tonight. We need this. I need it. Look, if none of you need it, I need this tonight. So you just listen. Where are you standing tonight? Let me ask you. Where are you standing tonight? Who are you standing with? Why are you standing there? Remember what David wrote in Psalm chapter 1? Blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. Let's stand with Jesus. Let's just get as close to him as we can get and stand with him there and get behind his cause and do everything we can to win everybody to Jesus. So Peter denied Christ, number one, because of where he stood, his stand. He denied Christ, number two, because of his standards. Now, I want to say two things in this area, all right? I want to say, number one, that we ought to set some standards for our Christian life. We ought to set out to be just as different as we can from the world. It was too easy for Peter to blend right back in. I mean, it was too easy for him to get back in the world. 1 John chapter 2, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Look, it was too easy for Peter just to get right back with the old crowd. He had not made enough changes in his life. It's like too many of us. A lot of Christians I know, we're like chameleons. You know what chameleons are? Somebody, who knows what a chameleon is? Yeah, it's a little lizard. You put it on a brown twig, turns brown. Put it on a green leaf, turns green. Put it on something gray, it turns gray. It just sort of blends in with whatever you put it on, it just blends in. And my dear friend, you listen tonight. If you find it easy to blend in with the old group, there's something wrong with your life. There's something wrong. Peter, when he stood with those servants, the folks that had arrested Christ and was getting ready to crucify him, he should have stuck out like a sore thumb. There should have been so many things different about his life that regardless of what he, and look, his speech gave him away. He said, and we're going to read about it in a minute. He stuck out a little bit. They said, surely you're one of his disciples. Your speech giveth away. Peter said, well, I can change that. He started cursing, started swearing, and he changed his speech. But look, if you can go back to the old group and talk like them and walk like them and dress like them and act like them and smell like them, you need to get on your face before God and you need to say, dear God, I don't want to be like that. I want you to change me. I want you to change some things in my life. Oh God, you help me. So if I'm tempted to go back in that old group, I go back in that old group, I want them to say, who's the fanatic? Who is this guy? We don't know him. Who is this guy? Why is he here? That's the way we should be when we go back to the old group. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. The Bible says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You need to decide tonight that you're going to follow Jesus and burn all the bridges that are behind you. Just burn them all so that when you're tempted to turn back, there ain't no way for you to get there. You gotta live for God because you burned all the bridges. We sing that little chorus sometimes. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Remember the last two lines? No turning back. No turning back. Get you some standards tonight. You decide you're going to be different from the world. And decide, I'm going to be so different that everybody's going to know that where I stand for Christ. And then number two, in this area of standards, don't use other people as your standards. Don't use other people as your standards. Peter did. He looked around, he says, oh, there's Judas. He's a treasurer. And I thank God we got a good treasurer. But there's Judas. There's Judas. He's the keeper of the bag. Jesus must have really trusted him, gave him the bag. He kept the money. Judas had just sold out for 30 pieces of silver. He betrayed Christ. Peter looked at that and said, That's Greek. He looked at all the other disciples. Where were they? I mean, when they came, when the soldiers came to the garden to arrest Christ, the Bible says, except for John, all the rest of them scattered. Where are they? They're not at the high priest's house. Where are they? Peter looked around. He said, Why shouldn't I quit? Everybody else has. Why shouldn't I deny Christ? Everybody else has. Why should I stay true? Nobody else is. Everybody else is gone. Look, Peter looks around and says, I think I'll just quit too. I think I'll just deny Jesus too. Look, if you keep your eyes on other people, they're going to fall. Let me say that again. Don't use other people as your standards. They're going to fall. Don't you be motivated to serve God just because somebody else is serving God. Because what are you going to do when they quit? What are you going to do when they stop serving God? Every single one of us, even the best Christian you know, is still a sinner saved by grace. Every Christian you know is still not perfect. Every Christian you know is still going to fail. Every Christian you know, one time or another, is going to let you down. Get your eyes off other people and put them on Jesus and put them on this book. Jesus will never let you down. This book will never let you down. The Bible says in Psalms 119, 165, listen to this verse. It ought to be a verse that every single one of us memorize it and commits it in our heart. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It's sad, and I laugh inside. I cry on the outside, but I laugh inside. How many people quit serving God because somebody offends them? Somebody does something that gets them upset. I was talking to somebody 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they were ready to quit. They said, oh, I'm going to quit. This person has let me down. And I said, what'd you expect? They said, well, they were one of the best Christians I know. I said, what'd you expect? They're just flesh. They have the same temptations you do. They're imperfect. We need to get our eyes off of other people, and we need to keep our eyes on Christ and in this book, and we'll have great peace. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody called you a dirty name and you could say, ah, brother, that's not you, that's the devil that's making you do that. You know, or if somebody hurts your feelings, you could say, ah, you didn't really mean that. That's what this verse promises. Let's love his law. How do we deny Jesus? Same way Peter did. By the stand that we take, by the standards that we have, and then number three, by our statements. Our statements. In John chapter 18, verse 17, we read it a moment ago, Peter lied. The girl that kept the door, you remember the verse? The girl that kept the door, she says, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? Yeah, you're one of them. And Peter said, no, I'm not. I don't know him. Listen to Matthew. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. And Peter got to thinking, oh, they're listening to how I'm talking. They think I'm a Christian by what I'm saying. I can change that. Verse 74, Matthew chapter 26. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. I'm going to close because it's time to close. But let me ask you a question. When people hear you talk, do they know you're a Christian? I'm not talking about cursing and swearing. No. I'm talking about when people hear you talk, do they know you're a Christian? We talk about all sorts of things, sports and politics, the weather, our jobs, other people. If somebody were to be a little ant that could sit on your shoulder and stay with you for a day, and hear every word you spoke, would they know that you're a Christian? How much do you talk about Jesus? How much do you talk about him? I love that little chorus we sing. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the light, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. That's what we need to do. We need to talk about Him. How do we deny Christ? Same way Peter did. By the stand we take, by the standards we have, and by the statements we make. Let's be a people that decides that we're going to stand for Him and for His cause. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You that we have an example like Peter to look back to. I pray tonight that we would decide to be a people to follow You. I pray tonight we'd be a people that would decide to get just as close to You as we can. And Father, regardless of what reproach comes, regardless of what persecution comes, that we'd stand. We'd stand because we have a cause. And that cause is men and women, boys and girls, to keep them out of hell. I pray tonight that we'd examine ourselves and that we'd make the changes in our life that need to be changed. Bless the invitation now. Father, if somebody needs to come, I pray You'd help them to come. Maybe there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Maybe there's somebody here that just needs to come and spend a few moments at the altar asking for Your guidance and Your help. I pray whatever needs to be done, it would be done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.